This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 378 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass School Committee workshop with the primary purpose to observe a digital learning integrationist demo held on Wednesday, October 28, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the school committee and central office personnel were in the council chambers. The remainder of the committee and the digital learning integrationist personnel were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I have requested a copy of the presentation, which was shared with one of the school committee members to help them follow along, but have not yet received the doc. While reviewing the screen images, I agree would be helpful. The conversation is more important, hence this audio file. The recording runs around 62 minutes, so let's listen to the DLI demo of the school committee workshop of October 28. Note, the workshop started late, and the trial and tribulations of getting folks connected was not copied here in the audio recording.
Maybe we can...
Do you count me absent for the day?
No, we actually... We waited. We have our group is here, and I think we're ready to kick off. So if you're ready, we can maybe troubleshoot that later on and try to help you in the future so that doesn't happen. But for now, if you're ready, did you get the email Kate sent with the PowerPoint?
I'm sure I did. Just go, please.
Okay. So we'll start. I'm going to mute you, and then if you want to look for it, and if you don't have it, just unmute and let me know. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lucas.
Okay. No problem.
All right.
No, okay. All right.
Thank you.
So you ready for us to start? Jump in?
Before you begin, just real quick, I'm going to make my comments brief. And I just wanted to first just thank everyone for joining us on the call. I know that this was initiated from a conversation that MJ had and other school committee members, and trying to really learn what's happening in our buildings, how is this going? And I just appreciate the time that you've all put in. And to the school committee, I just would say thank you for investing in digital learning integrationists for our district, because I just was on a call at 3:30 today with digital learning coordinators from across the district, and they were so thankful for the work that's happening. We're talking, these are teachers that were in the trenches in the spring when we faced the shutdown with a closure. They have tremendous credibility amongst their colleagues, and for them now to be in these roles, having taught in Franklin during that time, and a collective, I want to say 80 years, 60 years of experience among them. It's just really, really.
It's those two, not me.
Okay. just a tremendous investment, and we're seeing those benefits. So without further ado, we'll get to the focus of this evening, but I hope I could, at a future meeting, I'd love to talk more about the progress we're making when it's appropriate. Now, without further ado, DLIs.
All right. All right, so remote and hybrid learning is the focus of this evening's presentation by your three DLIs, digital learning integrationists. And what we hope to accomplish here today is for the school committee members to understand the daily routines and the learning experiences of the Franklin Public School students in the remote and hybrid classroom. And your presenters tonight, I am Marianne Zogby, one of the newly appointed digital learning integrationists.
And I am Jim Dontremont, another digital learning integrationist.
And I am Kate Merton, the third digital learning integrationist.
Okay, and so our agenda for presenting to you this evening includes two parts. We understand that the primary focus here today, or the highest interest, is in what's happening at the elementary level, so we definitely put that first. And where we could be, you know, a little short on time, that actually works out well that we're going to get to that first, and that's our primary focus. We do have some material to share with you from the secondary level, and for each level, we're going to talk about sort of the rhythm of the day, the routines in place, and the lessons and activities, how they're implemented with these interactive tools in the remote setting, and talk a little bit about how the day starts at each level, how the day is wrapped up at each level, and go from there.
Okay. So I'm going to start. I taught elementary school. I've been teaching in elementary school in Franklin for, this is my 29th year. And I had the opportunity, this is a really unique opportunity for me. I got to visit a lot of schools. I've actually been in all the elementary schools, but I spent some particular time asking the kindergarten, first and second grade teachers how things were going. And I want to just say a few things about that before we get started. First, I want to say that there were so many variations about what's going on, but there's a lot of things that are the same. The teachers are working harder than ever. The kids and the families are working harder than ever. They are doing their best in this circumstance. I want to take a moment and say thank you, because teachers, so many teachers, gave up time to sit and talk with me, invited me into their classroom, and shared things that they're doing in a time when time is so scarce for them. So I do want to just say thank you to that. And so to that end, almost everything that you'll see comes directly from a classroom or a teacher with something that they've used, or in some instances we modified them slightly, but they're all directly from students, from teachers, I'm sorry. Our focus is going to be on K-2 here, with a lot of the focus on remote, and we'll sprinkle in some hybrid practices for you so you can kind of see how things are transitioning. And as I said, we saw so many different things. So I want to just talk quickly about the schedules and the navigation. Those are going to vary, but generally speaking, right now, the kindergarten students across the district, with the people that I spoke with, and I admittedly, I did not speak to every kindergarten teacher. They're all participating in a morning meeting, and we'll go through that. They're all participating in an end of the day meeting, and we'll go through some of that as well. And then they all have some type of interaction throughout the day. Some of them have interaction with a Title I teacher or a literacy specialist or a math specialist. Some check back in with their teachers, but a lot of the kindergarten work when they're at home is asynchronous, and I'll talk a little more about that as we go through. Similarly, it's pretty consistent across the district that the first and second grade students are on their meetings for the majority of their day. And they're muting their camera, they're muting their microphone, but they're participating in the day from the morning straight through to the end of the school day. So that is important for me as well, just to highlight before we get started. So we'll start with the beginning of the day. So we just highlighted for you that while the kids are arriving at school every day, the students at home are sent to a landing page. If they have a device that was provided by the Franklin Public Schools, this is what will show up when they log into Google Chrome. And they will then click on that first link, the Google Classroom link. And when they click on that, they will go into their classroom. And so what happens here is all students are starting in a Google Classroom, and they'll open up their Google Classroom and they'll see these little tiles. They'll see their classroom teacher's tile, and then maybe a tile for art or music, PE. They have a few tiles. If they're older students, they may have more of those. Then they'll click on their classroom teacher here. And when they do that, they'll see this page, which is their classroom teacher, and you can see below my name, it says class code, and then there's a meeting link. So they click on that, and that's how they access their classroom meeting. If you have students, you know. And then here we are in our meeting, and you guys can see the meeting. You've been on Zoom. It's like a little Brady Bunch kind of view is what the people call it. But we wanted to highlight this because it's the routine. It seems like a lot of clicks, but by now the students are used to this part of it. I know the parents are supporting, certainly in the K and 1 classrooms, because the navigation is challenging. That is the hardest thing, is to navigate from one thing to another. So when Marianne clicks, I'm just going to set this video up. This is a video that was created. We won't play the whole thing or even most of it, but we wanted to show you this because this was a direct request from a kindergarten teacher asking if there was some way we could help the students navigate their Google. And just, we wanted to show you what that looks like during the navigation. So this video was created, excuse my gravelly voice, it was late. And I know that it's a little bit painful to watch because it's so slow, but this is where the kindergarten and the first graders are. This was shared with all of the K to 2 teachers, and they shared as they thought was needed.
You're going to the second section right here that I'm highlighting. It begins with a capital C and it says classwork. So you're going to click on that and you're going to find the assignment that your teacher has left for you. Your teacher will tell you what to open. And when you open it, when you click it, you might see something down the bottom that might be a slideshow. You'll click that open. And now you have another tab open, lots of tabs open. You need, if you need to go back to your meeting, you're gonna look at the top of the screen where the red circle is. That's always going to be your meeting. So if I go back to my meeting, remember this is where I'm going to see everybody waiting.
So as I said, it's slow, but this is where the kids are and this is what they need to practice. In order just to access their learning, they have to be able to navigate tabs, which is really challenging for them. So once the kids get here, they're going to log into their meeting. And a lot of the teachers have something posted on the screen for the kids when they log in. So this is an example of one classroom has the expectations. This is just a reminder. This is what you need to, how you need to be in school for the day. Being prepared, listening, no eating, no using the chat without permission. Muting and unmuting is always important. And then most people, can you do another click, Marianne?
Yep.
Most of the teachers I find have something on, as you probably know, the students when they're in person arrive in the elementary school around 8:15 and school starts at 8:30. So they have this sort of 10-minute window where the students are arriving and this something like this might be on the screen. You can see there's a counter, a timer at the bottom, and it's a reminder for the children, this is what you need to be ready for. And then once the time goes down, they do the Pledge of Allegiance. So the students will, I saw a lot of pledges. Sometimes they were standing in the classroom. Some of the schools are now moving towards a whole school announcements now that the students are in school. Some schools have videos, some students, teachers have videos, but they'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. And then, the students get a schedule. I have a couple copies of different schedules. So during the morning meeting, the teacher generally will talk about this is what's expected for the day. You'll notice the schedule doesn't have times on it. This is a balance of synchronous and asynchronous kinds of things. The next schedule on here will have some a schedule of what the students have to do. Navigation, I know, was one of the questions for the K students. As I said, they'll come on in the morning, they'll participate in the meeting, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And then they will log off and they'll come back at designated times. For the first and second graders, the teachers the students will only log off during their specialist and in some instances during lunch. Other than that, they will stay on with the mute, their audio and their video muted so that they can hear the teacher and what's going on. So this is an example of something that might be happening, and we're going to pop this in the chat. This is a Jamboard, and this is something that the students may participate in. It is obviously, I created it with your names on it. But this is, if you click that link, you can see this kind of thing is, I can see you moving your things around. So this kind of a Jamboard, this is part of our Google Enterprise, and it allows you to have the students move post-it notes around. There's so many, many, many things you can do with this, but this is just one example where you can gather information as the kids are arriving, and then it provides a launching point for conversation. So those morning meetings are a lot about social emotional learning and what is happening for the students. And this is a way, it's a nice nonverbal way for kids to share how things are going. And then also it allows the teacher to have a sense of where the kids are. So that's one example of what that is like, what a Jamboard is, or a way that the students are communicating.
All right.
And then this we just put up as another example. Sort of pre-COVID, teachers would have students come in and respond to questions. If you could meet somebody famous, who would it be? And they would just write their names down. But of course, we can't share markers. We don't have the kids up at the board. This is another Jamboard here on the right. That's an example. Teachers also might use post-it notes and just put, the kids are writing them individually so that they're not in one location, but the same stuff is happening. And this also provides that launching point. The kids, one thing that they don't have enough of, or that I shouldn't say they don't have enough of, but that they're missing, is that interaction with one another. So these are ways that they can do that. And then conversations start during the morning meetings. And there's a lot of time for that interaction.
Can I ask a question?
Of course, we forgot to say, please interrupt us and ask questions.
What, you call these boards a Jamboard, J-A-M?
J-A-M, and it's part of Google Enterprise. So we purchased, I don't know the logistics, but we as Franklin are a Google Enterprise system, which means we have the sort of extra things that are provided through Google. And Jamboard, I don't know if it's an extra or if it's integrated, but it's fairly new. And there are things... If you have a chance to look back at the one you looked at, you have the option to use a pen. Some teachers are using it. It would have to be the actual Jamboard. They have an opportunity to use a pen or the post-it note. They can write in a text box. So those are all sort of your options. And teachers are using it for a variety of instructional practices. And some are just getting started with it because it is fairly new. But it's definitely something that we're talking to teachers about as we talk about different ways.
So most of the children who are doing this learning are familiar with the term Jamboard.
If their teacher has used it with them, they would be, okay. Yep. And some, right. So I worked in different fifth grade classes today, three different fifth grade classes. Two of the classes had used Jamboards before today, and one of them I taught them how to use it today. So I think it'll vary based on the student's age and the teacher's comfort level.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So this... is one of a few slides, and I know Jim will put the link in. This is part of the kindergarten morning meeting, and if you are interested, you can look at how these slides are interactive. But what happens is they drag the base 10 blocks over to show the number of days of school, and the next slide. And they would have done this in, when we were all in person, we would actually be moving these things, but this is a way for the teachers to continue with those routines, which are so important at the elementary level, and to allow the kids to participate. The next slide, you probably don't have to present Marianne, but the next slide is the calendar, the same thing. The kids would used to be sitting on the rug doing the calendar. Now the teachers are doing calendars with them in this way, where they might drag a number or type a number. The next slide is another example where those little dots get dragged over. So it's just examples of how the teachers are using interactive slides in order to recreate what they used to do in person. We can go to the next one, I think, Marianne.
Okay. Kate, can I just ask a quick question? It's Ann Bergen.
Yep.
I just while the kids are doing this, can you see maybe the child who is rolling on the floor, or, you think about what kindergarten is like, how much of the time is teacher getting the child back and on task? Are you able to see and say, Johnny, why are you, can you see?
So you can see what you can see here. So the kindergarten students, if it's a hybrid models, you have seven maybe kindergarten students in front of you, and then you have maybe seven on the screen. So of course, if I was out of the screen, you would notice, and you might redirect me, but you can't specifically see what's going on.
Okay, just a question. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because one thing that I don't think we accounted for in the presentation, but I did hear from the kindergarten teachers consistently, is that the students are learning things that they never had to learn in kindergarten. So when you go into a kindergarten class now, you see desks, which is not something that you would have seen a year ago. You would have seen tables and spaces on the rug for the kids to sit. So now they're sitting in desks, and you'll see next to their desks some type of storage, whether it's a laundry basket or a basket, you know, a Sterilite basket, or even a file basket, and you'll see file folders. So the kids are putting papers, they're learning how to file their papers in kindergarten, which they did not know how to do a year ago. That wasn't a focus. And so all of that is taking time to teach those routines and, you know, just taking time for them to do that. But those things are needed now that weren't needed before. In the interest of time, we probably won't play this video, but we wanted to highlight that the K and 1 and 2 teachers, and even 3 and 4, I think, they provide movement breaks and brain breaks in different ways for their students at home and in school. And these are some brain movement breaks that I got from K and 1 teachers. They're just different videos. Go Noodle, the kids stand up, they dance. If you ever walked into an elementary school, this stuff is still happening. And it's really something to celebrate when you see that happening and the kids are dancing and watching the screen. It does bring a sense of normalcy. So it is important to highlight that. And the kids at home have access to these as well. Okay, so that was really about the morning time, morning meeting, the social emotional learning of the students. The next part is going to just talk a little bit about the academics. And I would like to just highlight again, the routines are so important. Elementary school, the routines are something you spend so much time on, and that's not different in this environment. The teachers, what I found, are using the same routines from day today and week to week, and they vary. Some teachers share an interactive slideshow similar to what you're seeing here. Some share a Google Doc with a table in it with links in it, but it is the same every week, and the kids are getting better and better, and the families are getting better and better at navigating those and understanding the expectations. As I said, the kindergarten is mostly asynchronous, with the morning and the afternoon and then one other time. And the first and second grade is on their computer for the day with the mute happening. And I'll talk a little bit about that. The teachers are teaching using a workshop model. So really briefly, that basically means that there's a lesson taught. It's a mini lesson, 10 minutes or so, and then they ask their students to do something, and then they come back and they regroup. And usually during that time when they ask their students to do something, there might be a small group breakout room, so we could actually break out and be in different meetings at one time. They might be working with another teacher, or they might be working independently, and they might mute their cameras and their microphones. Teachers have a variety of strategies to get the students back. So you might see a timer show up on the screen, which is a countdown, and the students know that when the countdown gets to zero, they need to unmute. Some teachers share that they're using a chime or a bell. When you hear the chime or the bell, come back on. Some teachers are just saying, okay, everybody, please come back on. And some teachers are relying on the clock. So all of those options are happening while the students are trying really hard to be off screen at some points during the day. But based on some feedback that we had this summer, that the students are most successful when they are logged on and the parents don't have to help them navigate getting on and getting off and getting back on. So the next slide is going to be a lesson, which Miriam will play in a moment. This is a kindergarten lesson. Again, this is asynchronous. So the teachers are gathering materials, worksheets, paper and pencil materials, because those students need to learn how to write. And they really need the paper and pencil tasks. They're gathering those up, and they're trying to send those home with the students now at the end of their cohort time. So yesterday was cohort A was here Monday and Tuesday. Yesterday afternoon, the students went home with a whole bunch of things that they will use today, tomorrow, Friday, and then they'll be back to school on Monday. And on Friday, the kindergarten students will go home with a whole bunch of things that they'll use Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So there's a lot of planning that goes into that, a lot of preparation and a lot of work to get to this point. So this teacher created a little audio.
I see the letter B. I see the uppercase B and the lowercase B. I also see a picture of a bat. The picture of a bat helps us to remember the sound that the B makes, because the first sound in bat is B, and that's the sound B makes. All right, we're going to trace the uppercase B first. Point to the skyline. Go down to the grass line. Start back at the skyline and go around to the plain line and around again to the grass line. Say B, bat.
I got the idea. So they...
I see the letter B.
Whoops.
I see the uppercase B.
Sorry.
So the teacher will do that. The students have the paper in front of them. They're listening and they're tracing, or maybe they're writing. And again, the routines... that was one particular teacher, and I saw a few weeks worth of work, and there was one for B and one for F and one for L. So that's one way. Again, they're asynchronous. So I know that teachers reported that they shared with their kindergarten families that if you can't do the work at 10:30 in the morning and it needs to happen at 2:30, that's a better time for you. That's okay. I know that they're really trying to work with families. This slide is just another example. I really wanted to highlight the routines that I'm seeing the same activities over and over and over again, just like you would in the classroom, so that the students are learning. This is for the trick word you, and they do the same activities. So ideally in the next week or 2 weeks, things are going to start to become more comfortable for the youngest learners, and they will be able to find, they'll know what to do with less and less, ideally, adult support. This here is a very another example. Again, kindergarten is asynchronous for a lot of the day. This teacher, Miss Bradley from Kennedy, is teaching the students how to read a book from the front to the back. She also is teaching this at school to the students in school, but this is what the at-home learners are getting.
Very important. Thing that readers need to do is look at the cover first, right? So you guys all just rocked it. You looked at the cover of the book and you already can tell it is about ice cream, which is my favorite food. Now, here's a very, very important thing, readers. You need to read the book from the first page to the end, okay? So you go and you turn it page by page.
And I really love this video because it reminded me where the kindergartners are at this point in the year, right? They need to be taught that. And again, this is an example of the workshop model. So this is Christine's lesson. It's about 3 minutes the kids will watch. And then they have a couple of options. They can read a book from home. They can click onto Epic Books and make a choice there. That's an online book. And some of those books have a read to option, so the book can read to them. They might go to Reading A to Z, which is a program that each of the elementary schools have purchased, or they might have a paper copy of a book that the teachers have downloaded, copied, stapled, cut, and sent home with them. All of those things are options that I saw, but I saw generally the same thing, a video and then an activity to follow up with. And we have a lot of these.
Very important.
In the interest of time, we won't share the directions here, but this was another example of a foundations lesson. And I highlighted this as well because we have the directions there, which I don't think we need to play. The teachers put those little sound icons on. They read directions, then they download them and upload them to the slides. And then they put videos in and the students click and watch. So I took that first video from new lesson and put it in the next slide. I highlighted it because of so many things you have to think about. This is Miss Phillips.
Hi there, Kindergarten Miss Phillips here, and I'm about to teach you about two new letters. This week, you're going to learn about the letters F and B. Last week, you learned about the letter T, remember? So this week, I'm going to show you the letter F. And if you look at our screen here, you can see uppercase F and lowercase F. The picture that goes with that is fun. those kids are playing, they're having fun. And the sound that the letter F makes is this. Watch my mouth when I say it. You can see my teeth, and you can probably kind of hear the sound.
So, you know, I was struck by that video because it shows you. She's teaching that to the kids in front of her. She's using her hand. She's showing you how to say the letter. And now she's pointing that out to the students at home so that they can see it. And then they'll go on to air write the letter F and trace a piece of paper.
Hi there, kindergarten.
All of those things.
Kindergarten.
That you saw.
I just have one question about that.
Yeah, please.
So you just said about Ms. Phillips that she's teaching it to the kids in the class and the kids at home. But that little video that we're watching here, that looks like it was filmed in advance. Like she's not
so. In front of the kids, right? So let me clarify that, Elise. So she's creating this video for I don't know which cohort it was. For instance, this video went home to cohort A because she's teaching the letter F on Monday. So she created the video at home and put the video in and shared it with the family so that on Monday the students can see this when they're at home, and she's then at school teaching it in person.
Right.
Which Does that make sense?
Yes, it definitely makes sense, and it's such a great idea, and it's awesome, but it's also double the work of a teacher, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because last October when she taught the same thing, she had a room full of kids and she said it once.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. And I think that, I knew that was going on, but it was very much highlighted for me when people shared the stuff that they're working on, because some of the videos for the kindergartners, some of them are 7 or 8 minutes because they really want to give the directions. And then I think, well, now they're at school teaching those 7 or 8 minutes and they're at home recording those things. That is a big challenge, at least. That's just not enough time in the day.
It is. And I don't want to derail too much, but I think it's important for us just always to be thinking of that. And you know how when you make a video, you don't always use the first take. You know, what happens if her cat jumps in her face or something? Like, you have to go back, you have to re-record. It takes some time. And so, you know, the amount of time, the end product looks amazing and seamless and so easy, but the behind the scenes is complicated True. And lengthy.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. This is not something that I got from a teacher in Franklin. I got it off the website Seesaw, and I'm sharing it because I was able to see what teachers were doing, but I couldn't take the student work and put it in here. So there are options in Seesaw, which is a program that we've purchased, where teachers can go in and find a paragraph, a sentence, a word, and the students can then record themselves reading that, and the teachers then go back and look. It's really a digital portfolio. It's an amazing tool. I highlighted it for a couple of reasons. I highlighted it because it is amazing. I highlighted it because using it does make things a little bit easier. Also because a good portion of the teachers though are not using it yet because they need the time. They need to learn how to use it. And it's hard to get that time and give yourself that time to learn something new because teachers are sharing that they're just keeping their head above water, and it's hard to make time for something like that. But there are a whole bunch of teachers who are using it, and it is a great tool. So I did want to highlight that a little bit. So we can go through some of these slides pretty quickly because in the interest of time, but this is an example of math workshop. In some of the schools, a lot of the teachers I asked, how are the kindergartners getting the work back to you after they've finished the work? Some teachers say they bring them back when they come into school. Some say it's a mix, and many of them say the students take a photo. Obviously, the parents are helping them, and they upload those into that. That little pink arrow is upload your work into this spot. And the students have directions to do that, but that's definitely something they have parent support with. And they're doing that quite a bit. Again, I think we can pass over this because we do have an interest of time, but that just, yeah.
And that is the number 0.
Another example of a video. That teacher was
was just showing the number zero, and she went through the lesson. This is a nice example of that video behind her is from the Pearson Envision math program that we have. So she taught this video exactly like she would teach her class, and she gave a little lesson, then she played a little bit of the video, she paused it, she gives time. You know, the teachers often in the videos you'll see they'll be talking to the students and they'll stop. What do you think about that? And then they'll pause and then they'll say, yes, that's right. So that was a great example of that.
Sorry, I've lost my way here. There. There.
One more.
There. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So this is a hybrid class, and I took a couple of photos of this in action because it highlighted some of the stuff we were saying. So the students in the classroom are reading, the students at home are reading. This is first grade, and there's a timer, as you can see on the screen. It's actually a video, so it's counting down for the students. And when the timer ends, the kids come back, and they're up on the screen. That I saw a lot of. I did not see that everywhere, but many of the teachers are putting the at-home students up on the screen to provide a sense of community and classroom. We're all in one class together. Sometimes they will turn their Chromebook or their computer so that the camera is not picking up the teacher necessarily. It might pick up the other students so that they can see their classmates in school. And this is another example. It highlights that there's also the lower tech option. This teacher is actually teaching using a 10 frame, and she's looking at a computer, and the students at home are seeing her on the computer. The kids in school have those counters and that paper, and the students at home have that as well. So it's sort of how that works in a synchronous environment. And this is just another one. It highlights sort of, we also have Pear Deck, which is another way the students interact. This is grade two. So this would be the teacher slide. And then here's what the students see. So the teacher will be talking. The students see the slide in a smaller version with an answer spot. And they will type in an answer. And then one more slide will show the teacher will see the students' answers on the teacher screen, not for everybody to see. So it's a way to get real-time information about how your students are doing on a particular subject or in a particular subject. Again, this is an example of in the synchronous time, the teachers may often break the students up into groups. So in this instance here, the teacher would have, in this particular teacher had two adults in her room for these subject areas. It might have been an ESP or a special educator or the Title I teacher or literacy and math. And some students went with one teacher, other students went with another teacher, and then the third group would be working independently, mute your camera, mute your audio, come back when you hear the chime. So those are examples of different sort of centers that are done in math, writing, reading, all across the subjects, actually. And we've reached the closing circle. So I saw a whole bunch of closing circles, and I shared at one point there, it's funny what sort of gets you in this time when you hear teachers singing to students in front of you, in front of them, and on the computer, or just on the computer in a classroom by themselves, and they're just singing to them like they would have if they were there. What I did here across the board is teachers wrap up their day in some way. Sometimes they present a question like this: what was the beach? What was the pit? Sometimes they just say, what was the best part of your day? What was the rose or the thorn? But in all classes and all people that I spoke with, they have that wrap up at the end of the day with everybody so that they can, they start the day as a community, they end the day as a community together. And that's kind of how the end of elementary school goes. I don't know if you have any questions about that. I'm sorry, I feel like I talked really fast and did not give a lot of opportunity to ask any.
Could you define the word, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, as asynchronous?
Asynchronous. So asynchronous would mean when the students are not connected with the teacher in person. So synchronous would be what we're doing now, and then asynchronous might be if I said, please go off and do this work, and I'll see you in an hour.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Lucas and Sarah, maybe you could let us know. Do you want to continue on with some of the middle school materials?
I think Kate, I appreciate that she kind of modified that part to get through the elementary piece, but I think if the committee is up for that, would you like to see just a glimpse of what's going on in the middle and high school as well?
Sure, I would.
I would.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Whoops. Okay, so similarly, well, the secondary schools, middle and high schools, are working to sort of digitally reproduce some of the routines to keep the day familiar for students. And starting the day, and this is an example of a landing page from the middle. Obviously, here we're dealing with readers and students who are much more facile at navigating to find what they need, their digital resources. So the day begins here, and you can kind of see this is an example of a middle school landing page. All kinds of informational resources available here, but students will click on this in the morning at the appropriate time when school begins. And this is happening in school and out of school. So all students are seeing the same morning announcements, and it's actually become quite popular at the middle schools. I think, when life returns to normal, it will be something that I think will continue because the students are really enjoying it. And I think the staff is as well. And what you see, whoops, did I go too far? Down here, is that what we did? We layered this. And here's another example from a middle school where the teacher is assigning something to students where they have to make a recording of themselves and submit it back into her. And it provides that connection between student and teacher where they're having a digital conversation, but making those connections with students on a regular basis. I'll skip over that one. This is an example, excuse me, of an activity from a middle school math class where in the past, in person, students would be put into small groups and work together. This comes directly out of the Open Up Resources, the Illustrative Math program. And it's a great beginning of the year activity where they get to work in a group and find a pattern and then have some great conversations about what makes effective group work. And the teachers really love this activity and were determined to recreate it in a digital world. So this is another example of use of a Jamboard. You saw earlier when we were making that SEL connection in the elementary level where you could go in and kind of drop your sticky note somewhere and represent how you're feeling. This is the same tool, also a Jamboard that is built into Google, but this time the middle schoolers are using it a little bit more advanced level. They're using some of the tools on the Jamboard to do what they used to do in person. They're circling finding a pattern. What they're doing is they're circling the numbers from 1 to 100 in groups of four. And the first round, they don't really know what's going to happen, but they see that there's a pattern to the numbers. And then when they go to do the second round, they have an opportunity to talk. Whoops, I didn't want to go to that Jamboard. Hold on. They're also set up in breakout rooms, so they can see each other in the breakout room, and they're having that discussion about, oh, look at the pattern. When round two comes, we can be more effective. And so on their computers, they're seeing their collaboration on the Jamboard in real time, but they're also able to discuss in their meeting similar to how they would have done in person in face-to-face activity. The next activity is an IXL. This is one of the programs that is being used at the middle school in the math department for real-time practice of math skills. And the teacher will assign a skill and has this real-time live interactive classroom where they can watch students working. The tool lets them know if a student might be struggling. They can go in and look specifically at these are not real students, by the way. This is taken from a tutorial from the website. These are not our real students. But we could see this student here is struggling. take a really close look at what questions they're getting wrong and right, so that the teacher can, in real time, as the student's working, have that private conversation and send feedback to say, oh, I noticed that you know, whatever they noticed about that the student's answer choice was wrong. There are some preloaded feedback that they can give, but the teacher is also able to type in a very specific comment here based on observations of that student in the interactive classroom. And at the student end, they'll get a message from the teacher that says, you know, great job, look, you're starting to get it now, or whatever customized feedback this teacher wants to send. So in the real classroom, the teacher will kind of walk around and monitor progress and have conversations with student based on observations. This is a digital version of that where the students are working independently and the teacher can provide that personalized feedback through a digital venue. This is an example of a tool called Pear Deck where the teacher is chunking the reading and kind of pausing after chunks of reading to prompt students to just get an idea if they're understanding what they're reading. So there'll be a chunk of the reading here followed by a prompt to gauge understanding, another chunk of reading followed by a prompt to gauge understanding, and so on. And then we can put students into breakout groups and have them do the discussion that we would normally do in a face-to-face classroom. The way that looks at an elementary level, here's one example of putting secondary students into breakout rooms. This would be when a teacher wanted to provide choice, and they would click on each of these, and it would bring them to a separate small breakout room of a Google Meet where they would just get to be with a smaller subset of the students in the class, and they can self-select. Do they need to go a room where the teacher is going to be providing additional support, clarifying instructions, answering questions, a higher level of support? Maybe they're going to choose to go into a room where the people in that room want to have their mics and cameras on and talk and help each other through. A quiet room might be where you could go to choose to work quietly, but help each other in the chat only. And of course, then there will be the students that say, I completely understand what I need to do. I just want to get down to business and get it done. They could self-select to go into a quiet room. And then eventually, all of those students would come back to the main group with the teacher and you know, do their pair. They did their thinking, their pairing, and then their sharing. From the teacher end during that activity, the teacher would be seeing each of these small group breakout rooms. And obviously if group one were the heavily supported group where the teacher is going to stay in there because students said they needed lots of help, she would probably spend more time in here, but also have the ability to pop in on those other groups to monitor what's going on in there and see if they have any questions. That managing this actually, I think, is one of the hardest things. Muting one, turning on your mic for another, and making sure that it's just you have to be really a ninja to do it.
Marianne, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
That's new to me, and I'm like super excited, and I don't want to derail the conversation too much, but can you send me how to do that?
Breakout room?
Like, I don't even know how to Google search how to do that, like have choice of breakout rooms and be able to monitor them, because that's super really cool.
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And the last thing we wanted to do here, typically at the secondary level, so where Kate talked about the elementary, she was really bounding the entire day with that morning meeting and that closing meeting. At the middle and high school level, it's more typical that we're going to start and end around a lesson, a particular class period. So at the end of a lesson, a teacher will typically do a check-in and find out, you know, based on the objective for that lesson, how did students do, and get some feedback from them. So we are going to model that here with you. Jim probably already put this in the chat for you. Is that right?
Yes, it's in there.
So I feel frozen. Am I frozen to you?
We can see you.
Oh. And we can hear you, Miriam.
Your video is frozen to me, but I can hear you.
This would probably be a good time if anyone has any questions.
I just had a question. In the big picture, when you look at things, what's the most
the most challenging thing for teachers? Is it the amount of time for planning? Is it, I don't know, help us understand, like, we understand this is incredible. It's complex. This, you can tell the learning curve has to be incredible. I was just curious from your perspective, what's the biggest challenge?
I think the learning curve was big, but we did do a lot of that last spring.
Yeah.
I think that the biggest challenge is time.
Yeah.
I think that what I heard people say, in addition to the time, especially the youngest teachers, is that whole idea of getting everything ready to send home.
Yeah.
5 days in advance, and then making sure that you are at, they have what they need, is hard. It's a lot of of navigating and getting things ready and making sure it's home, it's going home. And the videos are taking a tremendous amount of time, as Alicia.
Sure.
So I think that overall it's time. I heard parents have been extremely supportive, and teachers are very thankful for the positive feedback that they're getting. And I think it's time. And I think people said, one teacher said to me, I'm June tired. You know, it's October. So I think that's what it is. There's not enough hours in the day.
And once you are muted, go ahead, Jim. Sorry, Jim.
I was going to say, to add on to that, because the teachers know it's so difficult for the students, and obviously at every grade level, the youngest kids, there's a whole different set of difficulties as far as navigating the remote environment. But because the teachers know it's so difficult, I think they feel they're not doing enough, that they need to do more somehow, which obviously goes along with that time factor as well.
And when you look at your day, you know, if we were to say a typical day of what you guys do, what would that look like? Is it troubleshooting? Is it professional development? What does your day look like for you guys?
I would say it's everything. From, you know, at the beginning, emails about, you know, my students can't hear me or I can't hear my students. Going to schools, we've done open office. We've done some teaching in the classrooms, which has been really nice. Working on teaching some people how to use certain things. But right now, I would use the word, I guess, I don't know if this is the right word, but triage. You know, it's sort of like, you get, I joked this afternoon, we were on a meeting, and when I hung up from the meeting, I had 55 emails that I wanted to go through, because all of them are urgent to the person who sent them. And it might be something very small in my mind, like, you know, someone couldn't access one piece of the day, but for that family and that student, it's big. So I think all of us are hearing from teachers, staff on different levels, essentially, can you either help us or our students?
Now, do the families contact you too if they need help, if they're having trouble at home? Can they have access to you to say, listen, you know, is that something you guys do too?
So I have been supporting the VLA families, so they have definitely been reaching out to support me. But generally, I think the support is accessed through the classroom teachers other than the VLA.
Thank you.
And we did earlier in the year, we did a special, several presentations for the parents in particular, to help get them accustomed to how the students might have to navigate this digital world too.
How many times during one of the live sessions, whatever, I'm at a loss for words here. I mean, how many times during the first lesson of the day are the parents of the youngest learners, how many times are they expected to, or do they need to do something for those little guys?
So I think that the morning time, what I'm hearing, what I heard from the teachers was the parents definitely do help their students get logged in and get set up. That morning meeting time, for the most part, it's going to vary based on the family, but those students might stay on for the 15 or 20 minutes and be able to engage with the teacher. But then once the teacher gets off the meeting, the parents do need to step in and help support. If they have a slideshow, get them set up in what they need to do. So that's sort of when the parents really need to be engaged, I would say.
Okay, so for one lesson, say a 1 hour slot.
So are you talking?
Sorry, go ahead, Kate.
No, I just want to make sure I clearly understood your question. Are you thinking about the kindergartners? It is different for the first grade students, because the kindergartners will be on for their morning meeting, and that little bit of academic stuff that happens, the teachers will send them off with, today you're going to work on, and they'll highlight that, and then they will hang up with the teacher and then just rejoin, whether they're meeting with the literacy or math specialist or maybe the Title I person or maybe even an ESP. But they'll log off and most of their work is done asynchronously without the teacher present. And so during that first meeting, which might last 20 minutes or a half hour, the parent will set them up and then they'll watch and engage with the teacher at that time. But then when they hang up, the parents have to step in. As far as first grade goes, the parents will get the students on, and then the teacher will walk them through the day. But as I showed with the video at the beginning about the navigation, it is a work in progress. And some of the students still are working on navigating, or if you have a student who's a non-reader and they have to go do something, they might need some support with a parent. Or I imagine from my own experiences when my children were little, that if you can't get something to work the way you want it, the children might mute their camera, mute their audio, and call for parent support, because the teacher is on the other side of the screen. But I don't have a particular number in an hour. I think it varies greatly depending on the family.
Okay.
MJ, if you want to come to my house Monday through Friday at any point, I've got a second grader and a fifth grader and two extra fourth graders once a week. So you can see that wasn't personal.
You're not the first one who's made the offer. Thank you.
I'm sure, right? Everybody's like, please come to my house. I'll...
Yeah, see what it's like. This is all very interesting.
I was going to add with the video and the audio that the teachers are doing, and with the routines that they're trying to build in, they're trying to get the students to be as independent as possible and relying on those routines too. There's a huge learning curve for that, of course, especially with the youngest kids. And the teachers would prefer if the parents didn't have to help. But, in reality, the teachers can put a lot in place, but it's not going to be perfect.
And we had a conversation earlier in preparing for this about the idea that it's going to vary widely, the level of support that the youngest ones are going to need for depending on the activity. But it is also part of the beauty of that asynchronous piece is that you can batch up the things that the students can do independently and do them in an order that makes sense for you and what's going on in your home, and then batch up the things that need support and do those at a time when parents are trying to do things too, like work. And so that asynchronous piece allows them to, you don't necessarily have to rigidly follow the schedule of the day as it's laid out by the teacher, or necessarily model what's going on in the classroom at those exact times. If it's suitable for your circumstances in a home to rearrange those and group the things that need support together, that's perfectly reasonable too.
And one more thing, I'd like to add, I had two gen ed teachers last spring in my house, and two to three this year, and they all are talking about growth mindset all the time. They're always modeling resiliency. They're saying, oops, I made a mistake. Let me try that again. I'm going to log off, log back in. Or, saying things like, mistakes show that we're trying, and mistakes show that we're learning, and we're working our math brains. And they all say, sometimes it's just going to be a bad day with technology, and we're just going to be flexible. And they have, they're positive, and they're supportive, and they're amazing role models for these kids, because it can be so frustrating, but they don't let the kids see it.
And Elise, just to echo that, I've worked in Franklin for a long time, and I have never, ever seen anything like what I'm seeing now with my friends, my colleagues, and how hard they're working, and how, I feel very guilty that I'm not in a classroom, because I see how hard they're working, and I want to help in any way that I can. It's really astounding.
Well, if you hear of any ways to help, you know, pass it along, because I think we all want to help, but there's only 24 hours in a day, and that's like our hardest part, you know, for everybody.
I think a powerful thing is recognizing that. And Kate, you just hit on something. You can empathize. You've been in that classroom next to those teachers. And I think the reason the three of you are in these roles is because you have those connections. You understand, and it helps you become more effective. So when you say you wish you could help and be in the classroom, selfishly, I think of it like you're now helping 6 elementary schools. And when you visit with each and take the best things you hear and cross pollinate, you know, that those ideas and those strategies, I think we all move in, and ideally we move from a triage model into why you're in these roles, which is to build capacity.
Yes.
And I think about the future, and you know, I think we're setting right now the foundation for all of that work, with the work with student data privacy, with the work on the first 10 days of PD, what you're offering on election day for teachers that need additional assistance. So it's not just that triage and helping people with what is urgent to them, but it's forward thinking. When I think about the plan for digital learning, that's not going to go away in a pandemic when eventually as things move. It'll just be what tools have we gathered and gained and built, and the system that's being built at the same time of triaging the most important needs is really important. And I hear daily from teachers how much they appreciate the support that you guys are offering.
Yeah, and I think we also want to say, you know, certainly from the school committee, is to say we're so glad you're here doing this job. And I can only imagine how you're helping the teachers deal with the stress and knowing that they can rely on you to help them. And we're really lucky to have you. I just, you know, it's quite evident the work that you're putting in and how hard and challenging this is for everyone, and for being so supportive and kind to everyone. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ann.
So 7:17, we're right around that time. Are there any other final questions or anything that hasn't been answered? Okay. Dr. Hearn, we good?
I have to unmute myself. Thank you so very much for putting this together. This was fantastic. And I learned some tips and tricks as well from an administrative standpoint and meeting facilitation standpoint. So looking forward to learning more and modeling that growth as well for the educators in the district. So thank you so very much, everybody. And thank you to our digital learning integration. Thanks, Lucas, for putting this together. Thank you to those who joined, like Sue and Steve and Paula, and then to the school committee for your interest in what's happening in the classrooms, whether it's a remote classroom or in person. We really do appreciate your support.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks
very much.
Great.
Appreciate
it. Hard work.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.